Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, well, the Angels won that game, so that means, let's see, if the Cheese Sox can split in Chicago, then they come out here, they get swept. All right, I'm kidding around, Harry. I hope that the they do good. But you got to understand, and I shouldn't even say, because the Angels, for so many years, they couldn't draw flies in that stadium down there. That was a haunted house. It was a haunted mouse house. Didn't it Disney own them for a while? Or no, it was Gene Autry and then this guy, other guy, I forget the guy's name, but he's apparently an exceptional owner. And, the great story, of course, is Socha. Socha's the main story down there. He was a Dodger. And then something happened to the Dodgers. They got dumb. The Dodgers came down with a very debilitating case of dumb, and otherwise known as Fox. And so, therefore, and they bought them. They got dumber. I didn't recognize the ball. Look, I'm not one of these old-timers. I'm not one of these guys.
Well, you know, when the O'Malley's owned them, well, that was one hell of a ball club. But guess what? They,
I don't care, man. How many cats have owned the Yankees? 9 million guys have owned the Yankees. They're still the Yankees. CBS owned the Yankees. You know, every time a television network buys a ball club, that thing, it turns into, it's like you might as well be looking at hopscotch, man. When CBS owned the Yankees, they sucked. Oh, you mean Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris played for them? They were pretty good. No, they didn't win any World Series, I don't think. I think Dan Topping. Have you ever heard of fruit topping? That's what they named it after, that guy. Dan Topping. He invented that. Anyway.
Yeah, it's funny.
Nobody's asking your opinion, man. So the Yankees were owned by some cat that was a colonel. Then they sold him off to another guy. Then that guy sold another guy. And then another guy bought it. And then Steinbrenner's had him for a few years. Now, this new guy at the Dodgers, they got this McCourt. Nobody likes him. Why? Because they ain't winning. Well, that's, Tracy got canned. Like, Tracy was going to work miracles with that patchwork pile of crap lineup that they had. Who are you guys kidding anyway, huh? Tracy's going to work miracles. The Dodgers win a division last year, and then they trade everybody, and everybody gets hurt, and they're all gone, and that's all Tracy's fault. You got, from the brain down, you guys are dead over there. But it won't last forever. The Dodgers will be back on top, and the Angels will stink it up again, I'm sure. But the great thing about the Angels, I think, is that Socha is there at a time when, the Dodgers could have had him. He could have been in the clubhouse. But you know what? It's better that he's down there, because if Socha was managing the Dodgers, he would have put a pistol in his mouth and blown his brains right out of the back of his head by now. And he's a family man. That's saying a lot. Socha would have wandered out into the Dodger parking lot, into the wide expanse of the Dodger Chavez Ravine parking lot, as the moon lit the L.A. sky, and you would have heard just the soft, muffled crack of a pistol shot, because he wouldn't have been able to stand it. But instead, he's down there with the Angels, and everybody digs him now, even though they're like 9 million miles from no place. And what do you mean the O.C., huh? I don't know anybody that goes down there other than to maybe have some clam chowder at Newport Beach, surf a little bit near the pier, rent a house for the week, and then get out of there as fast as they can. That's cool down there, Orange County, I guess. I don't spend a lot of time down there. I used to go down there at the beach and everything, but it just all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. A disease began to seep in Orange County, and I think it's called anisism. And now, they're cool people down there, I guess, if you don't hang around them too much. All right. I wanted to mention something because I was driving. Oh, I should wait till the end of the show to say this. Yeah, I'm going to wait till the end of the show to mention. I was driving and I was listening to a station I like to listen to, KPFK. It's the Pacifica Foundation station here in Los Angeles, but it's a very left-leaning station. Now, I like listening to them because, I don't know, they get some kooky programming. They always have some cat with an African drum show. And, in between all of their rants about how Bush is the whole reason why the White Sox haven't won since 1917 or whatever the hell it is. In between all of that, then they'll have some guy, welcome, it's time for Brazilian sounds. For the next half hour, like that. And then they have a show on Sunday night called I Am Are You. And it's a gay music hour, I think, yeah. And one night I was driving, and it was all lesbian music. It was all lesbian folk music. And so, it was like they were singing, and then the next week it would be all like gay guys singing. I don't know, Brazilian song. I don't know, you know. But anyway, so I dig it. And that's why Air America is sort of superfluous, because as long as we got KPFK, I don't need to listen to that. Air America is boring, man, other than Randy Rhodes. Who needs it? Randy, you ought to get over there on that KPFK, man. Nah, on second thought, just work your way into a real company. But the other day I'm driving, and they got a computer show. And I'm thinking, okay, now wait a second, Phil. Don't be very judgmental, because this is a company, a broadcast company that's devoted to, you know, progressive kind of like all-inclusive broadcasting. They don't really care if you're a member of the community, you should have a show, right? But there's two guys doing a computer show. And I hear the one guy, right, so remember, you can go down to the computer fair, and that's going to be in Sepulveda. Ron, what else you got?
All right, there's another really, I think that's a great thing to do.
I'm going, well, do you got to hire a guy with only part of a tongue? Why? Is that because of the whole charter of your company being, you know, let's be cool to the tongueless? I swear to God, I am not exaggerating. But I listened to 20 minutes of it, but I finally had to turn it off because the guys are,
here's a doll. You know, the thing that really makes me angry, you know, you just have to, they all come tell us. And I'm going, yeah, come on.
Okay. And the other cat's like the sidekick. This other guy with one quarter of a tongue is the main dude. He's driving a show. So, all right, welcome back to KPFK's computer show. I'm Ron Sobel, and with me here is Hank Ketchum. And, Hank, you've got some really interesting... You had some problems, though, with your PC, didn't you?
I did, but I got it all worked out, so it's going to be great. Okay, let's get the phone call, and then we'll tell about it, all right?
Hi, I want to ask a question, Hank, about my computer. It's about a three-year-old, and I don't know whether I should upgrade the memory on that deal or just go ahead and get rid of it. Of course, I get a lot of those great downloads, you know, from KPFT. I got the great download of the Galway-Hitchens debate, and really want to listen to some of those Senate subcommittee hearings, you know, on delay. So what do you suggest?
Well, I don't know. You know, don't say a thing, all that.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Jesus.
You know, and then the guy hangs up. And then, you know, and the guy's like, that whole thing where just hold on to your tongue and you can sound like a guy that can't hear. All right, welcome back to the computer show. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to recap what we did last night.
So now, you know, I'm going, okay, now wait a minute. Well, that's cool. I mean, see, there's no rule that says you got to talk good. Well, that's not even talking bad. The guy, his grammar was good, from what I could make out. But it was... kind of, you're preoccupied. And I remember when I was down in Miami, they had a guy on local radio there, and I can't even remember how to do his voice now, but I swear this was it. I was driving, and it was right when Richard Nixon had died, and I heard this guy.
And there's a lot of different things. He was talking like this, you know, and I say,
and I remember thinking, wow, I mean, that's not a gag. I thought it was a joke. In fact, like for 5 minutes, I was laughing my ass off. I think it was like Monty Python. I go, no, this is a real show.
Okay, we'll be right back.
So it's a changing world, and by God, either get on board or climb off, man. Either get on board or get off and get your pants on. That's all there is to it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 CD is soon to be on the on our website in our souvenir shop, and if you buy it, all the bread goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, and we'll have Cowboy Jim Ferris to tell you more about it coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everybody. This is Cowboy Jim Ferris from the Cowboy Jim Show. I got something to talk to the adults about right now, so you young people might want to go to bed. A little bit past your bedtime anyway, isn't it? We're going to talk a little bit about child abuse. Child abuse is a terrible thing, and I want to talk to Mom and Dad right now about how they can stop this from happening. I know it's not happening in your home. Thank goodness there are good parents like you, but there are homes where young people are not welcome. This is part of our daily Journal of Children in America. I'm Cowboy Jim. A young lady that we know very, very well at the institute we work at, was trying to visit her grandmother one day and instead wandered into a home that was owned by three bears. She saw the porridge and she ate it, and then she slept in the bed. Well, sure enough, the bears got back and figured somebody had been eating their food, sleeping in their bed, and they were a little bit put out. I'm not sure how the story ends, but I'm pretty sure it ends with her death at the hands of these bears, mauled by three grizzlies. Her name was Goldilocks, and, well, hell, I don't even think the story's true. But I think it could happen. I think that very thing could happen to a kid wandering through the woods. Keep it from happening. Buy the Phil Hendry Show CD, Are You For Real? Best of the Year 2005, at his website, www.philhendryshow.com. That's the Phil Hendry Show Best of CD for 2005, Are You For Real? Buy it at www.philhendryshow.com. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Otherwise, kids could be on their way to their grandma's house, go into a cabin, bears, porridge, death. Bears, porridge, and death. Just think of that. Jeez, man, that, well, I tell you, that sends a shiver up my spine. Well, this is Cowboy Jim, and I got to go because the music's running out. Music by the Bavarian Slapdance Troupe. This is Pacifica Radio, KPFK. Okay, welcome back to I Am Are You. And my name is Sanchez, and with me is Heidi. How are you, Heidi?
I'm great.
I'm a gay man, and Heidi, you are a lesbian.
Yeah, and today we're going to play some great songs. This is one by a gentleman by the name of Patrasik Boneyard, and he's a just a fighter.
He really is a member of our community.
And this is a nice instrumental. He plays the fiddle. All of these instruments he plays himself. It shows what a gay person can do when they're hiding from someone, like a mob.
That was recorded after he had been chased from a sports bar. All right, something's wrong. What?
Will you get serious and do a show?
I am doing a show, man, till you butt it in.
What is all of this KPFK crap?
I don't know. I started out talking about the guy with one tongue.
Then I heard that Cowboy Jim baloney trying to sell that CD. What do you mean Goldilocks was abused? What is that about?
I don't know. That's what Cowboy Jim said.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what Cowboy Jim said. Well, you're right. I forgot about that. Get out of here with that, whatever that is. It's kind of catchy, though, isn't it?
Sounds like travelogue music to me. Yes, imagine yourself swimming the beautiful rivers and lakes of Bavaria. Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Welk, and this can all be yours for a minimal down payment and a small monthly payment, and you can own your own piece of the Bavarian Alps. This is land that's been appropriated from the East German government. And it's going to be used as resort land now. The people that lived there under communist rule have been driven back behind the Slavic curtain. Go to Bavaria. All right, thank you. That's a new sponsor. Well, I don't know what we're doing, man. We were supposed to have a guest. Is Ted Bell ready or not?
No, he said he's late.
Well, this is why I'm filling, because that jackball isn't around. When Bell says he's going to be on, he's supposed to be on, man. Don't sit here making me wait for him. Anyway, seriously, we are very proud of our Best of CD. It's called Are You For Real? Please buy it. In fact, don't even buy it, man. Just send some money to the people at my friend's place, because they're a great group, and they help the kids. But it is time, you know, for our new CD to come out, so what the hell, man? It's a double CD set, too. However, the price is going up, and if I hear any complaining about that, I don't know what I'm going to do. I may come unglued, man. I may start shooting from my car. If I hear anybody bitch about the price, yes, it's going up to $30. Oh, wow, are you kidding me, man? I mean, is it going to be the same? You know, I used to sell a single CD for $20. I didn't hear anybody bitching about that. Then we did the double CD for $20, and I didn't hear anybody say, thanks, Phil, for giving us the double our pleasure for the same money. But now when it goes up to $30, I'm going to get people crying and moaning into their beer again. So that's why we're going to have to go out and do the big-time push, man. We got to do a lot of signings. We have to do a lot of personal appearances. We're going to go out. We're going to, out of my own pocket, my own travel, I will fly myself to wherever. I'll fly myself to cities where our show isn't even on. Sit there behind a card table and wait for people to ask for my autograph as they walk by and go,
is that the show that my son sends me tapes?
I'll be sitting there in downtown Chicago. All right, Ted Bell joins us now from Ted's of Beverly Hills. How are you doing tonight, Ted?
Phil, I'm doing very, very well. I'm actually enjoying your program a great deal. And it's another good night tonight here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got a terrific steak special. We're serving, of course, our filet mignon, your choice of the a vegetable medley, or your choice of baked potato from the potato tree, all for the incredible price of $59.99, and a Ted. Which is Meyer's Rum and Coke.
You know, I actually saw somebody drinking Meyer's Rum and Coke the other day.
Where?
In the parking lot at the Coliseum before the...
Where was this?
In the parking lot at the Coliseum before the SC Arizona game.
And what were they drinking?
They had a bottle of Meyer's Rum and they were pouring it into a thing of Coke.
Okay, that is a copyright violation and...
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. That is a copyright violation. That is a blatant violation. That individual is not allowed to use that drink unless they say, I think I'm going to have a tent. If they say, let me just mix Meyer's Rum with Coke, what they're doing is they're raping me. And I can tell you,
if you want their name, I'll give it to you later.
I'd like that, yeah.
All right. All right, so tell me a little bit about the clientele at Ted's of Beverly Hills and the kind of evening that people can expect when they go there.
Well, Phil, I'll tell you, I don't think there's a better place to take your special lady or your girlfriend than Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got the prime rib room where Johnny Ciccone holds forth on the piano. Excuse me. Got a little bit of a cold. Oh, boy. I got a little bit of a cold, Phil. I got that bronchitis. And I'll tell you, the other thing about Ted's of Beverly Hills, I think we are a very egalitarian. We're a universal kind of a restaurant. We're a place where everybody is seen or a place where everyone wants to be seen. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you're jolly, you know, whatever gets you off. Come on into Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got all kinds of couples that come in here, all walks of life. In fact, we have a lot of interracial couples that come in here. And that's something I wanted to mention. Some of my best customers are people that I've known for a long time, interracial, people of completely different races who are together and in love. And I encourage it, Phil, because I really think that in a lot of ways it's man's destiny to shuffle the deck, if you will.
And well, that's very kind of an enlightened stance.
Well, I think it is. I don't want to speak for myself. I know a lot of people agree with me. I'm very, very big on interracial dating and interracial marriage. I think it's very healthy, and I think that that's another thing. A lot of people say, well, you know, the children of a biracial couple, such as a black and a white, are not that attractive. Well, I don't think that's the case. I think O.J. Simpson's children are, you know, their life is very tragic, but they're very beautiful children.
Yeah, they're very handsome.
You know, as long as the man is white and the woman's black, I've got no problem with it. This is Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly.
Wait, hold on for a minute, man. Hold on. You're not getting away with that.
What?
What do you mean, what? As long as the man is white and the woman's black?
Well, I thought that was understood.
Why would that be understood?
Well, you don't want it the other way, do you? You know any people that'll piss off?
You racist.
What do you mean? Whoa, don't use that word. Look, I've had a tough night, Phil.
Well, wait a minute, man. You just got done saying you believe in monthly interracial dating and marriage.
Yes.
As long as the guy's white and the woman's black.
Well, I think that's understood. I don't think anybody is... Are you trying to tell me I'm supposed... So, in other words, what you're telling me is... If O.J. walks in with another blonde, yes, sir, Mr. Simpson, sit right down.
No, I'm not saying that necessarily, no. You're talking about a guy who's got a reputation that's odious. But just a regular guy, some black guy and a white girl.
Look, I don't want a fist fight to break out, okay? Why don't I just... Can't you just leave it at that?
Well, you're the guy that brought it up.
All right, pretend I didn't bring it up.
No, you're the guy who said I believe in multiracial couples as long as the guy's white and the woman's black.
Well, that makes it simple. All right, no one's going to get a tight jaw over that.
You know, it's a good thing I'm going to a break.
Oh, you are? Well, I got to go.
Now, wait a minute, you coward.
No, I'll see you later.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here's an email, and it's from Chris Milne. And Chris says, Phil, my son is currently in the Air Force boot camp. For the last several years, we've both been listening and yuck it up while you're broadcasting your show. So naturally, to lighten his days and to add some variety to my letters, when I write to him there, I have used the return address and the name of several of your characters, i.e. Herb Sewell, Atascadero Forensic Institute, Walter Bellhaven, and Jim Jimco, both have written to Seth, along with Major Elvis Newton. I guess her son's name is Seth. This ain't Bobby Dooley, is it? No, it's Chris. Along with Major Elvis Newton and Subcommander Jay Santos. The training instructors always ask him who these people are. I can only imagine his response while having to explain. Apparently, Subcommander Santos and Major Newton have been invited and are expected to attend his graduation from boot camp as VIP guests. due to their rank. Yeah, sure. Subcommander. You know, I got that Subcommander stuff from Star Trek. I said, well, that's kind of cool. Commander. You don't hear anybody call it Commander anymore. Anyway, where this idea came from, I'm not sure. But if these two cats show up, I'm definitely going to make the trip from Maine to Texas to get their autographs when my son graduates in November. Thanks for sharing your imagination. You've made a lot laugh along the way. Regards, Chris Milne. If you haven't seen the film Emperor of the North starring Lee Marvin and Ernest Borgnine, it's worth the look. Nothing like a Depression-era train conductor removing hobos riding a train by using a hammer on a long chain that lets loose, bouncing off the rails and onto the undercarriage where they're hiding. Oh, man. Oh, God. That's how the guy gets rid of hobos that are hanging on the undercarriage? Takes a chain with a hammer and bounces it off the rails? Woo! Thank you very much, Chris. Email from Chris. The show idea from a gentleman by the name of J.P. Nicole. Steve Bozell suing his insurance company because he's upset that his replacement coverage won't replace his totaled 1995 Blazer with a 2005 Yukon Denali. The Blazer is paid off, so my attorney tells me I shouldn't have to make any payments on the replacement vehicle either. Is this a show idea?
Yeah, it's a great idea, too.
I'll be the judge of that, thank you. He's also suing his wife because she told him the light was green, so he floored it without looking up from the newspaper article he was reading in his lap. She neglected to tell him about the semi in front of him.
Isn't that great?
That sucks. I will send us an email. These are the ones that Michelle is able to pull out of there. Boy, they must be getting either real slim pickings, man, or I'd go back to reviewing the email myself. Problem is, when I go through the email, I wind up replying to people. And when I wind up replying to people, I decide that I need to reply to everybody that writes me an email. And so I'm in there until 3 a.m. Honest to God. And then you get involved with, you know, hi, Phil, my life really sucked until I heard your show. You see, it all started when I found out I was born with half a brain. And then I'm like, yeah, you know, I knew a guy like that. And then I get the response back. Oh, really? You knew a guy with half a brain? Oh, yeah, I did. And then, and I'm on a freaking email tree for 3 hours. God forbid some single chick writes me, and then it's, oh, really? Well, I'm joking, sort of. So send us your emails at phs@philhendryshow.com. That's phs@philhendryshow.com. Go to our website at www.philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. It gives you access to all the audio on our website. We have some new features. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website tonight, I think we've updated Phil Drives to Work. This is Phil Drives to Work Part 3. If you go to our website, you will see a brand new video of me driving to work, and this one features me getting on the freeway. And see, the first one was me driving down the street. Then the second one was an abnormal one because there was a fire in Burbank, and I caught that with my camera. Now this one, part three, resumes the trip to work as I get on the on-ramp and I'm heading onto the freeway. So this is Phil Driving to Work Part 3. It's a brand new one down there at the bottom of the page, and the banner photograph is of the ashtray in my car, full of Marlboro Light butts. Our DVD of the week, for a few dollars more. Best line in the movie? Is that your knife and Slim? Well, it doesn't belong there, does it? And that was spoken by El Indio, played by the great Gia Maria Volante, a real sick, twisted creep in all of those freaking spaghetti flicks. And then, of course, check out the Chris Norton Babe and get your backstage pass. This Week in History, as I mentioned, this week, October 14th, 1977, Anita Bryant took a full cream job off the kisser. some gay guy walked up and creamed her face. I'm talking about a pie.
Well, I hope so. Mr. Hall will be mad.
Oh, shut up. Can't a guy use a little bit of double entendre? You remember the coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Tom Double Entendre?
Jesus.
Anyway, check that out, man. It's on our website, This Week in History. 1-800-449-8686. Jesus. Look it, man, I was talking about it.
You said creamed her face with her pie.
I didn't say her pie. I said creamed her face with a pie.
What do you think I'm running here, man? Some kind of a freaking burlesque act? I got the FCC breathing down my neck morning, noon, and night. Every time I turn around, there's some guy standing there in a striped suit with a skinny tie and a really bad haircut and all that dandruff, standing there looking at me with freaking eggs and toast on his breath and saying, aha, another fine for a Clear Channel station because you can't rein in your talent.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What?
I'm talking about Anita Bryant.
Yeah, getting creamed in the face.
With a cream pie.
Boy, there you go again. Pie this, cream that. You're all... Yeah, Anita Bryant. And then in the same sentence, you said, nice pie.
I did not.
I thought I heard that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe you are, man. I said that Anita Bryant got hit in the face with a pie.
Well, you didn't exactly say that. You were trying to make it sound dirty.
All right, so I said she got hit. She got creamed in the face.
By a gay guy? I mean, talk about sick. What sewer does your mind not wander down, Phil? What sewer does your mind not just take a stroll down in the middle of the night?
All right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been, you know...
Well, thank you very much. Just say she got hit in the face with a big, thick wad.
Oh, okay, man.
That'll be fine.
Thank you.
Told you.
Yeah, you told me. Just go ahead and look at the banner. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now Phil explains the bullcrap part two with Frodo the Puppet.
Hey, Mr. Hendry. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Frodo. What's up?
Mr. Hendry, I hear you talk about Anita Bryant. Who's she?
Well, that's a good question, Frodo. Anita Bryant was a singer. And at one time, a fairly popular singer.
Uh-huh.
And I guess you could say she was sort of at the low end of popular singers. Like if Ella Fitzgerald was at the very top, say Ella Fitzgerald was human on the Tree of Man.
Right.
Anita Bryant would have been like one of them monkeys that, you know, had religion. What do they call them?
Australopithecine?
Yeah, that's it. So she was, you know...
What are you laughing about?
No, well, nothing, man. So anyway, you know, I don't mean to knock her. I mean, people dug her music. So anyway, she had this singing career, right? And then she became the spokeswoman for Florida Orange Juice.
What's that?
It's orange juice from Florida.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, she's doing these commercials. Well, somewhere along the line, I think it was probably her... she used to be Miss Oklahoma. That was the beauty pageant?
Yeah.
So she was Miss Oklahoma. Why do you keep looking at him?
No reason.
You look at him and I'm... Get out of here, bud.
I didn't...
Get out of here right now. This puppet looks at you one more time. He did it yesterday. Still want to know about Anita Bryant?
Yeah.
Anyway, Anita Bryant was Miss Oklahoma, and then she became a singer, and then she, you know, got famous, and then, like a lot of famous people, she started doing commercials. And one of the commercials she did was for Florida Orange Juice, and she was really popular promoting Florida Orange Juice. And then one day, I don't know when it was, she decided to get involved in the anti-gay thing. In other words, in the 70s, there was a lot of legislation, especially in California, where they wanted to give gay people the right to teach in schools, for instance.
Yeah.
And
let me ask you something. She was really famous?
Yeah, she was really famous. And so what are you doing? Oh, man. Freaking puppet peed on my hand. Bud, give me a towel.
I told you.
You didn't tell me any.
Give me the. I peed on your hand.
Give me a towel. A puppet peed all over my hand.
You need help, man.
Why do I need help when the puppet pees on me?
How does a puppet pee on a guy?
Don't worry about it. It did. See, the minute I saw him looking at you, that's why I told you to get out of here. You guys had this all set up, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I told the puppet when to pee. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind?
Dickman, every time that puppet and you start exchanging glances, I know something's going to happen. And the thing pees right down my arm. Well, yeah, look at this here. What do you want?
What do I want? How does a puppet pee on a guy? I just want to know.
Well, it did.
Yeah, but how? Does it have the ability to pee? I think you're losing your freaking mind. You want my honest opinion. I know you didn't ask me for it, but I think you're losing it. I think that TV show that you're going to do has pushed you over the edge. Because all of a sudden you think you're a big star now, so you can tell people that puppets pee on you, and everyone's going to go, oh, well, if Phil says it happened, then it must have. Why? Because you're a big name now. A big star.
Yeah, that's it. I'll just make up any bull crap in the world, and people will believe me because I'm on a sitcom.
Yeah, that's what you think. Otherwise, where do you get the...
I'm telling you right now, the puppet was looking at me and looked at Bud. They exchanged glances, almost as if they gave each other a signal. Bud leaves, the puppet asks me a question, and then lets go on my hand.
Really?
Yes!
Man, I feel sorry for you.
Okay. You go right ahead. I'm going to go to my website and look at me driving to work.
Boy. Yeah, we got a full rich life here, don't we?
1-800-44. Anyway, let me finish the Anita Bryant thing. Where was I?
Puppet was peeing on you.
So anyway, the puppet started to... Not that. Yeah, she was the orange juice lady. And then what happened was she got involved in the...
He's not here to hear it.
I don't give a damn if the puppet's here to hear it or not. So she got involved in the anti-gay thing. So now she starts going around the country with her husband and with Falwell and a couple of these guys talking about how gays are deviant and messed up. Well, naturally, that puts her politically at odds with people who believe that gay people are human beings and are, individuals that have a sexual orientation as opposed to lifestyle. See, the whole gay thing, a lot of these cats like, you know, that, they think... If as long as they can keep selling that it's a lifestyle choice, then they're cool. Forget about whether they got any actual scientific backing on any of that. So, make a long story short, Anita Bryant believed that she was in the mainstream. Otherwise, how can you be so stupid as to have a multi-million dollar client like Florida Orange Juice that's paying you large dollars to stand there, warble a couple of cornball songs, and talk about Florida Orange Juice, right? She was like the Kathy Lee Gifford of Florida Orange Juice. Remember how Kathy Lee Gifford did the whole thing for Carnival Cruise Lines? That was Anita Bryant. So she sings. So, you know, now what happens is gay people, especially in Florida. Now, Miami's got a huge gay population. She's pitching Florida Orange Juice. Hello? Anybody put these two things together? Or maybe not, huh? Okay, Anita. Well, that's all right. I know you're busy. I know you're too busy to actually think these things through. But what happens is they say to Florida Orange Juice, well, guess what? We're not drinking any of your orange juice anymore. Well, what do you mean? Because Anita Bryant is a freaking homophobe freak. Well, now, like in every cause down through time, when they start feeling it in the pocketbook, man. So Florida Orange Juice says to Anita Bryant, you got to cool this out. We got a lot of queers down here in Miami. They ain't drinking our mimosas anymore. And she said, what are you talking about? Because she was too dumb, you know. She thought she was in the mainstream. Now what happens is everybody that's coming to Florida on vacation, they don't want to drink any of that Florida crap either. Next thing you know, it's all over the country. And I really believe that Anita Bryant got just, man, blindsided by that whole thing. Finally, she goes up to Des Moines, Iowa, and she's given a press conference, and a gay rights activist comes up, and it's the first time that this had ever been done, and it was hysterically funny. Now it's kind of whatever. But this dude comes up and hits her full on with a cream pie. And that was the end for Anita Bryant. There was just no way that you could really take this woman seriously. I mean, she looked dumb with the cream pie on her face. She was saying dumb stuff. And she was too dumb to get that nobody was really with her on this thing. And Florida Orange Juice didn't want to know her from a freaking case of herpes. And so the whole thing just went south on her, man. And now I understand she's at the wagon wheel every Friday night playing an electric piano, taking requests,
dancing with old guys, and, you know, then goes home in a station wagon by herself. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we're going to plan a webcast for the 21st of October. So if you do not yet have a backstage pass, you should get one so you can watch how we do the show, how we do our different elements of the show. You can watch it for $6.95. And plus the $6.95 gets you all the other stuff on our website. So that's not like all you're buying with that. And I wanted to mention before we go off the air that I got some really shocking news today. Somebody that I knew and worked with, and a lot of people in this town knew and worked with, Tracy Miller died. And Tracy, I'd worked with at KFI in the late 80s, and she was a part of TNT in the morning on KFI. She worked with Peter Tilden at KMPC. She worked with Johnny B on his midday show briefly. And she had a terrific voice, great newswoman, and I knew her socially. Really sweet lady, and I was really stunned to hear that Tracy passed on from the results of a cancer that she was battling. So really loved her, and I, you know, from a distance admired and respected her, and we're very, very sorry to hear about Tracy going. Phil Hendry Show, see you tomorrow night.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.